the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, in Exodus 16 and 17, there are some scriptures that are so pictorial of Jesus Christ who would come, the manna from heaven, and Jesus is the bread of life. And then we're going to talk about in Exodus 17, the water from the rock, and Jesus is the water of life. And so what a beautiful Christocentric portion of scripture we'll look at today. Hi, Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper, and you are listening to Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network, and we invite you to get a copy of God's Word and turn to the Old Testament book of Exodus and follow along with us. And you know, Bert, today is Ash Wednesday, and 46 days from today is Easter. And the world over, Christians, on this day, they think about repentance. And there's a word you don't hear too much, contrition. To be remorseful and broken over your sin as we look toward the Lord Jesus who gave his life for the forgiveness of sin. Bert, as we get into the Easter season, and this really does dovetail well with Exodus, I don't know, it just causes me more and more to think about the wonderful willingness that Jesus would pay the price of our sin by giving his life on the cross.
Amen, Alex. And you said it well. Exodus has so many vivid events and pictures that demonstrate who Christ is and also what he would do. Deliverance, the whole idea of deliverance, provision. And so when you read the book of Exodus, it is an exciting book. I enjoy reading it. I enjoy studying it and going deeper. And today, that's what we want to do about the manna. But before we do, most of the time, Monday, when we were doing this live, we were spending our time murmuring, and they were murmuring against Moses and Aaron. But listen to verse 8 of chapter 16 of what really it was. It says, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your murmurings, which you made against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." I want to tell you, does that put complaining about situations in its place, Alex, about when we complain or murmur?
I'm telling you, one of the great virtues of any Christian is gratitude, to be grateful. And one of the great signs of carnality is ingratitude and murmuring and complaining. And, you know, listen, we all have feet of clay, and we all sin. But really, if you think about it, we have got so much to be grateful for. And when you are grateful, you're more likely to have joy and be happy. Because let's be honest, we're alive, and if you're a Christian, you're bound for heaven, and if you're not a Christian, you can get saved and be forgiven. I mean, you know, really, Bert, anything beyond hell and the grave, we're blessed.
We are. Bill Stafford, I know I've quoted him. We don't quote him as much as we do Dr. Rogers and Vance Havner and others, but Bill Stafford, he was in our church, a great evangelist, just a great man of God, and he'd say, "When will we ever learn that everything above hell is grace?" And we need to be thankful for that, that God has provided for us a way to come unto him. "Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart." Listen, there's nothing better than walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we find out they're murmuring, and verse 9 says, and we're getting into the manna, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." I want to stop there just for 1 second. Alex, isn't it amazing when we see God's glory? Now, again, there was the cloud, but in our time, it can be a word of God spoke at a right time. It could be someone that is saved and someone who is healed, and the glory of the Lord appears. Does it help us along the way?
Oh, my word, yes, the glory of the Lord. You know, Bert, I was in a youth meeting last night. It was just awesome. Some kids from FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and other youth, and they were having a Bible study, and the two adults that were leading it, they said, let's go around the circle, and what have you seen the Lord do in the past week? And, you know, the kids, one by one, were talking about some answered prayers, and, you know, they said, where have you seen God in this past week? And I want to give God the glory. And I love, like you say, Exodus 16:10, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Bert, I'm telling you where I see the glory of the Lord. In the United States of America, it was reported just Saturday that the decline of Christianity has stopped and is slowly turning around to the growth of Christianity.
Amen. And it's Gen Z that's bringing this on.
Yeah, you know? And do you know what? 21 years ago, when I was working for James Dobson, one of the very first articles that I was asked to write was about young people leaving the church. And I remember doing all this research, and it was not a fun article to write, but even, you know, two decades ago, churches were declining. Now, we've got a lot of praying and a lot of evangelizing, and we've got work to do. But folks, the Lord is moving. And, you know, we were at NRB last week, National Religious Broadcasters, and like the three or four biggest apps in the world that millions and millions are on, these apps for your mobile devices, are prayer and scripture apps.
Amen. And they're being promoted. I'll be watching a television program, Alex, and it'll come on about those apps and say, you can, and this is what's happening. And we need to, the purpose-driven life, we catch a wave and ride. When it's God moving, folks, you want to go with him. Yeah. What was it? You know, find out where God's working and join him, Alex.
And yes. And that was experiencing God.
Henry Blackaby. And God is working, and that's what we're seeing. And AFR, we're positioned to be a part of this great movement, Alex.
Amen. And folks, be in prayer. You know, the glory of the Lord, whenever a person trusts Christ and is saved, that's glorious. That's wonderful. Whenever a family is restored, or spouses come back and recommit to their marriage, or, you know, wonderful things. I mean, throughout life, we see God do countless numbers of blessings in our lives. But imagine this, folks, and every last one of us can be a part of this. Imagine a nation turning back to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The Ninevites did it. Throughout history, there have been awakenings, and the United States of America, I believe we're on the eve, in the beginning stages of a move of God's Holy Spirit. And so that movement of God can be in your own heart and life too. And I would encourage you to let that, even today, just pray within your heart to God and say, Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. And Lord, your will be done in my life. And Bert, I gotta share this. In 14 through 22, manna, which is a picture of Christ, the bread from heaven. Okay, last week at NRB, we had some time to revisit with some longtime friends. One was Dr. Robert Jeffers of First Baptist Dallas, and also June Hunt.
Right, I know June.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She has a show called Songs in the Night and Hope for the Heart. Well, anyway, we were talking about W.A. Criswell. And his name was Wally Amos Criswell. He was at First Baptist Dallas for decades, one of the great preachers of the 20th century. And very, very famously, one New Year's Eve, he spent like 4 hours, and he preached through the Bible from cover to cover, all of the illustrations of Jesus. Because Dr. Criswell, they said, he had said, Every Christian should be able to take any verse and make a beeline to the cross.
Amen.
And I was talking about this, and it came to be very famous because a book was made out of it, where Dr. Criswell preached Jesus on every page of the Bible. Both June Hunt and Robert Jeffers were there that night, and we were talking about it. And, I mean, that's, I think, one of the most famous sermons of the 20th century.
I would agree, Alex. And again, what he did there, he preached through the Bible in those years, decades that he was there, preaching through the Word of God. And this is what we do on Exploring the Word. And again, Alex, you and I are, we're standing on the shoulders of giants like W.A. Criswell, Dr. Adrian Rogers, that have gone before. We've read their material. We've heard their sermons. And they infiltrate our lives, you know? And some of the times I'll say something and I don't remember exactly where I heard it, but I guarantee you I heard it somewhere and they got it somewhere. Now, I don't have the memory that you do, but God's word will not return void. And when you preach it and share God's word, it's going to go do a work. And I believe that work is starting here in America, and we're asking God to do that. Now, real quickly, they bring the manna. It falls like the dew. The quails come, but the manna is what is going to last day after day. When I say last, the coming of it's going to last day after day. But if they got too much on a Monday and they're trying to keep it for Tuesday, what's going to happen, Alex?
Well, it's going to get wormy and smelly, you know?
Yeah, Moses, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, isn't that right?
Well, you know, God, you've heard this saying perhaps, God gives manna for the day.
Yeah.
And do you know, walking by faith, and I mean, Angie and I give God the glory, but we've walked by faith for a long time and, you know, raising money for missions and things like that. And very often I want manna for the week or manna for the quarter, but God gives manna for the day. Moses said, let no man leave of it to the morning. Verse 20, notwithstanding, they did not listen to Moses, but some of them left it unto the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them, angry, because he had said, look, God will provide your daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Don't try to hoard it away. Now, let me just say this, Bert, and I'm going to throw it to you. I believe in being responsible and having a savings account and things like that. But I will say this. When God has given a church money, that money needs to be put to work for the gospel. And some of the churches that I've been called in to help and consult, where they were split and they were fighting amongst themselves, and it was icky. They had money in the bank, but they weren't putting it to work. There's something about trusting God, not hoarding, but trusting God and letting His Spirit lead. And Bert, I think this picture from 19 through 22 of them hoarding the manna is a picture of not trusting God.
I agree with you fully. And again, each man gathered according to each one's need. You didn't get it more than you needed, but what you needed, and He provided. We're going to continue this right after the break, so stay tuned for more here on Exploring the Word. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions, despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding, and preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget, as they rescue over 200 babies every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears the heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles.
please sponsor A Precious Baby's Life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies. So be generous. You'll never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Okay, I don't think we got music today. Alex, do you want to sing real quick?
Well, that might quench the spirit.
Well, I know I would. Hey, that's good. It gives us a little bit more time, because I wanted to ask you about what you're doing with pastors that's coming up that I heard about. Tell us a little bit about that, brother.
Well, God bless you. We really do have a big year, and I want to invite you, listen, folks, no matter where you are, if you are near Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and I know we have a lot of listeners in Dillon and Charleston and all around there. Okay, at the end of this month, I'm putting on 2 free lunches for pastors, youth pastors, ministers of education, or just godly Christian people. Now, here's what it's going to be. On Wednesday, March 26th, and Thursday, March 27th, it'll be north of Myrtle Beach. There's a very famous grocery store and restaurant called Bullinose. And if you're in this part of the world, you'll know where Bullinose is. Come, I'm going to feed you, I'm going to give you a book, and I'm going to tell you about a speaker series. We're bringing in some great speakers like Gary Chapman, Charlie Kirk. But Wednesday, and this is 11:45 to 1, and we won't keep you long, but Wednesday, March 26th at North Myrtle Beach at Bullinose, or Thursday, March 27, down south at the Shoney's. Now, here's how you register, and space is limited. I can only have about 2 to 2.5 dozen people. But if you just email me, info@alexmcfarland.com, info@alexmcfarland.com, and maybe you might want to drive in. I know we've got listeners in Charlotte and Wilmington and Dillon and Little River and all around this mid-Atlantic region, Wednesday, March 26, Thursday, March 27, and come to lunch. We'll fellowship together. We'll talk about exploring the Word, and we'll talk about our wonderful speaker series coming up. But, Bert, hey, I want to tell you something that I found out. Do you know, now listen to this, folks. There's a website called IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. And if you ever have somebody that's on IMDb, that means they were in a movie. And that's kind of, that's a really big deal. I mean, I know you've, very famous, you know, people in movies. Well, Bert, do you know, I know somebody that's listed on IMDb as being in a movie. Guess who it is?
Who in the world?
Bert Harper.
Oh, me. Listen, a blockbuster, huh?
Well, Bert Harper and some other folks I know are in a brand new movie called Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. And this is a movie we want you all to see. Now, I'm going to give you a website, then I'm going to, one of the movie's principal figures, check this website out, culturewarrior.movie. Culture Warrior, and it is the miracle story and the incredible work of Don Wildman. Bert, can you tell us, and by the way, it's award-winning. It won an award, the ICVM, International Christian Visual Media. It just got this award, Best Documentary. It had another award, Most Creative Documentary. It's phenomenal. But Bert, what can you tell us about the wonderful movie Culture Warrior?
You can see it. You can go to culturewarrior.movie and watch it. And we've done that and made it available. And it is about more than Brother Don Wildman's life. It's about a man that saw what needed to be done and did it. Now, I want to tell you, it will be encouraging to you to see that you can make a difference in your world. He made a difference in his world. It started up in South Haven, Mississippi. Just turn off your TVs for a week, and people caught on and caught on, and it launched today what we know as American Family Association, and it tells you his story about the battles that he would have to fight concerning horrible movies like The Last Temptation of Christ. It would tell you about the 7-Eleven victories he had of taking pornography off of the stands right there where people, the boys, anybody could see it. A battle after battle and showing how he was faithful. If you hear anything about Don Wildman, it is everybody can be faithful and you can be a part of that. If you don't want to watch it online, you can get a DVD at and there. And I'm going to give you a number. It's different than our call-in number, but I'm going to go ahead and give it. So those of you that would like to get a DVD and watch it, you can do so by calling 877-927-4917. 877-927-4917. And Alex, yes, I am. I'm one of the opening comments there. And if you can get past that, you can stay through the rest of the movie. It is awesome. Tim's interviewed Brother Don's wife, Linda, one of the a great lady. She shares. It's a great movie. And it's getting those awards, Alex, tells you how good it is, brother.
Well, J.J. Jasper is in it, and, of course, Buddy Smith and many of the, you know, principal figures of the ministry that I'm sure you know of. It's endorsed by people like Dr. James Dobson and Dr. Jeffers and Andy Miller of Wesley Biblical Seminary. And it really is an amazing story. And, you know, Bert, I remember 35 years ago, I suppose, because my parents got Don Wildman's newsletter, and I remember hearing of this man. You know, back then, I didn't know a lot about biblical worldview, but Don Wildman, he was really, really ahead of his time because he understood. That discernment was from the Lord, wasn't it?
It really was. I had the privilege of being on the board, working with Don, really. He and I becoming friends. It's neat when your friend is a hero of yours. And Don Wildman fits both of those categories with me. And getting to work with him and being a part of what AFA and AFR were doing, it was exciting to be a part of it. And so I recommend this. I think you'll be blessed by it. I think you'll be encouraged. And I think you'll be challenged, Alex. So yeah. You can go to culturewarrior.movie and watch Culture Warrior Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. That was a key word, decency. We need to bring it back, Alex.
We do. I want to say this. I want to encourage people to show this at your church. Bert, when I was at Friendly Avenue Baptist, I was youth pastor, and then, of course, I've been a pastor. A lot of times, Wednesday night, I was in charge of the Wednesday night program very often, and it was not easy to get people to come out midweek. But sometimes I would show videos by like David Barton or Chuck Colson, and this would be really good. Again, the website is culturewarrior.movie, and there's a kit you can get with some promotional materials. And, you know, never underestimate how influential this can be in the life of a young person. We are in a battle of worldviews. There is the biblical worldview, which is the foundation of our nation. And there is secularism. And there are worldviews, hedonism, that would lure people away from Christ. And so the life of Don Wildman, what a testimony. The movie Culture Warrior, and Bert is in it, and so many other of our beloved AFA figures. And I'm so thankful that got made.
It is well done, like you said, Alex, and so it will not disappoint you. So please do that. We invite you to do so. We made it so people could see it and be encouraged. And Alex, you will be.
Well, we've been in Exodus 16, and we will, after the next break in that final segment, we'll get to questions if you want to call in with a Bible question. You know, after there was the manna, and that it came to pass on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. They were permitted to get enough for 2 days, you know, because there would be the Sabbath. And really, in 23 through 36, really, the Sabbath is made known unto the Israelites.
It's the first time the word it's mentioned in the Bible. Now, we know in creation on the seventh day God rested, but it wasn't called the Sabbath. So this is new language, Alex.
Well, yeah, and you're right. Let me read this in verse 23. He said to them, "This is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe, or really boil, that which you will boil. That which remains over, lay up for you to be kept to the morning." And they laid it up to the morning, as Moses said, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. So, Bert, there's not only a miracle of the provision of the manna, but there's really a miracle of the preserving of the manna so they won't have to work on the Sabbath day.
On certain day, on that certain day, if they did it any other day, they could not save it up on Monday and wait until the Sabbath. No, it had to be the Saturday before the Sabbath. And there, I love the words it says in verse 24, "It did not stink, nor were there any worms in it." Weren't they proud? You
yes.
know, and it does show the provision. But I also want to say something else here. It shows you the timing of the Lord.
Yes.
You know, you travel a lot on the airplane, and you've got to show up and know your destination, where you're leaving, where you're going to. But is the timetable important in catching an airplane, Alex?
Yeah, and if you've ever missed a flight, you know how important the timetable is. Hey, I want to read a scripture very quickly, Colossians 2:17, about this Sabbath. And it says that, well, all of these things, the eating, the drinking, the Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And the word shadow is the word type or picture. Now, what's really interesting, Bert, I was researching this Exodus 16. Do you know in world history, there prior to this, there had never been the concept of a day of rest. Isn't that something?
It is amazing.
Now, when we are a born-again believer, you are in the perpetual Sabbath rest in Christ. Hebrews 4 tells us that. But here is yet another example of the uniqueness of God's Word. This was part of God's covenant with Israel, that they would keep this Sabbath till the Messiah would come, who was the fulfillment of the law. But really—
And Alex, this is before the law. This is what's amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're not too— The Ten Commandments yet, which are going to show up in Exodus 20, but this idea of a day, and by the way, the work week, 6 days, rest on the seventh, I mean, that's not only pictorial of the Messiah who would come, but it's also pictorial of creation. You know,
yes, it is.
But other cultures didn't have the idea of a Sabbath, because they didn't have the knowledge of the true and living God as had been revealed to the Israelites. The Bible says, unto the Jews were entrusted the oracles of God, the revelation of God. And so this is a unique word. It's a true word because it's God's word.
Amen. Now, verse 27, I love this. Notice what happens. And it happened that some of the people, they went out on the seventh day just to check it out. No, I'm adding that. Together, but they found none. There it is. The provision wasn't available if they did not take it. Heaven is not available unless you prepare. And Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." That's in John 14. But and I'm going to use this cliche, Alex. I know you've heard it. You know, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. So what you had to do, you had to prepare for the Sabbath. Make plans for the Sabbath. In our day, make plans for the worship you have Sunday morning, where you're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Alex, this preparation, provision, but also preparation. The provision was there, but being prepared for the Sabbath was there as well, wasn't it?
It was, and that's why I think it's good to, you know, hopefully you have a church home and you're a regular plugged-in participant. But if you don't have a church home, pray about it. Get online. Make sure it's a Bible-believing church. Make sure it's a church that is true to God's Word and committed to the Great Commission. You don't want to go to some woke church. But then, you know, think
by
about
by the way,
it.
Let me just share with you, according to what I'm hearing, wokeness is dying. So praise the Lord.
Praise
maybe
the
it'll
Lord
die
for...
in the churches as well. Go ahead. I just had to throw that in, brother.
We you know, we want truth.
Amen. But,
and so get online, do some homework, find a good, solid church. And then I believe, you know, Saturday before Sunday, be in the frame of mind that, you know, tomorrow is the day of worship. And Lord, speak to me. And Lord, help. You know, it's like Samuel, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You know, many studies, I'll say this and I'll get off my soapbox, but over and over, psychologists, different researchers, sociologists, people, families, married couples that go to church and have these regular a rhythm of going to church. And the secular world says, you know, faith. I'm talking about Christianity. But here's the thing. Emotionally, physically healthy, peace of mind, even financial stability. People that are in church, in the home, even in the pocketbook, and certainly in your soul and spirit, it just goes better when you put Christ first.
Amen. That's what we want you to do. That's one of the reasons Exploring the Word exists, is to share the Word of God, but encourage you to be in ministry that God's called you to. You read your Bible, you pray, you help, but you serve. Serve others. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. So let's get into that idea as well. Well, we're going to take phone calls. That phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
I've seen shame, the kind that comes from mistakes, the kind that won't go away. When I turned around, they were right there to remind me. I've seen regret, the kind that messes with your head, the failures and the can't forgets. But standing here now, I'm thinking God is behind me.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. May the Lord bless you, each and every one. This is the part of the show where we take Bible questions. And the number, if you've got a Bible question, The number is 888-589-8840. Bert, are you ready to talk with people across America?
Man, I love it, and I know you do as well. So where did we go to first?
We're going to begin in Mississippi with Michael. Michael, thank you for calling Exploring the Word. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much. Y'all was talking about Exodus. We had just finished Exodus in our Sunday school class this weekend, and we've come up with so many comparisons of feeding the 5,000, the lady at the well, and it's just wonderful to know that you cannot have the New Testament without having the Old Testament, because everything Jesus taught is exactly what we're reading before he taught it, and it's just wonderful.
Michael, let me ask you something. Isn't that amazing? Do you think that's a coincidence, or you think God knew what he was doing?
Oh, sir. He knows.
Amen.
He knows.
Amen. That is true, Michael. I just want to tell you, especially Exodus. Now, I like them all, but I do especially love Exodus because he brings them out to bring them in, and that's what he's done for us. Alex, go ahead, comment.
Well, you know, in John 5:39, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for they testify of me." And when Jesus told the people of his day the Scriptures, that would have been the Old Testament, because the New Testament wasn't written until after the resurrection. So, yes, Jesus is throughout the Old Testament. Now, Bert, every now and then, you know, sometimes people have said that, well, only the New Testament is relevant for Christians today. No. The Lord Jesus is on every page of God's Word, old and new. And so I love what Michael says, that in Sunday school they've been searching that out, and we should too.
Amen. It makes you think of what you said about W.A. Criswell. Yeah. You know, read a scripture and make a beeline for Jesus. Yes,
amen.
Do that. Amen.
Michael, thank you. In Tennessee, Paul in Tennessee, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Howdy.
I was listening to you just a few minutes ago, and Alex mentioned something about woke churches and hope we find a good church. I don't have a Bible question. What I do have is a prayer request to find a good church home, one that's alive and not filthy, filthy, permeated with satanic influence and the wokeness that is so prevalent in our society.
Hey, I got to ask you, Paul.
A good church home for my wife and I.
Are you anywhere near Paris, Tennessee, which is like, I don't know, maybe an hour from Nashville? Are you near the town of Paris, Tennessee?
No, I'm in Chattanooga, but I live near Dalton.
Okay. We've got some friends. There's one of America's great churches is in Paris, Tennessee. TVCC, Tennessee Valley Community Church. They're out there, and pray, Paul. Bert, in finding a church home, don't you think this is one of those James 1, verse 5 moments, asking the Lord for wisdom, and God will give you wisdom?
He really will. And if they have a website, get on to see what their doctrine of faith is, things they believe. You also want to look at their mission. Are they missional? I just want to tell you, to be the New Testament church, I believe with all my heart, the two best examples in the New Testament is the church at Antioch that sent out Paul and Barnabas, and then Paul and Silas, and then Silas and John Mark. They came back with one mission team, and they left with two mission teams out of that church at Antioch. That's called multiplication, Alex. And then the other one that I just dearly love is the church at Philippi. Paul said about the church at Philippi, they were straight. They didn't have any doctrinal issues that they could find. They had two women that may have been at each other. He said, straighten up. Don't walk straight. You know, don't let all this stuff happen. But they were doctrinally straight, and they were missional. Paul said, nobody has helped me in my mission projects like you. You've helped me when things were tough and hard. You've stuck with the stuff. So there's churches out there, Paul. They really are. And when you get on board, be a part of it, man. Pray for them. Be a part of the service and missional. But we'll pray for that, Paul. Pray for Paul to find that church that you know. There. Hey, by the way, there's no perfect church, and if you find one, don't tell me to visit. It would become imperfect.
Yeah.
And I don't say that with some humor, but yeah. Alex, you know, the problem with we're all human, and yes, we've been born again, but we have that two natures, and sometimes that carnal nature rises up, doesn't it?
It really does. Hey, we're going to get to more questions. If you want to call in with a Bible question, the number is 888-589-8840. Somebody wanted to know the number for the Culture Warrior Kit. And I know I'm giving a lot of numbers here, but the number, if you want the Culture Warrior Kit, is 877-927-4917. Okay, 877-927-4917. And the website on that, and folks, it is an incredibly inspiring story, culturewarrior.movie. But we're going to keep on with our calls here. Tiffany in Mississippi, thanks for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, good afternoon. I was just calling with a comment. I think Dad had called in Monday about needing prayer for his daughter. I think her name was like a Rebecca Elizabeth, maybe.
Yes.
About needing friends. And I moved to Mississippi with my husband for a better job, and I was isolated for a long time, and I prayed and prayed for friends. But at that time, the Lord didn't send me friends because he knew that I would cling to my friends instead of him. So sometimes he puts us where we feel isolated, so we'll cling and build our relationship with him and not cling to other people. And that may be what she's going through right now. And I just wanted to give her encouragement that it does get better. And whenever we feel isolated and kind of pain that maybe we feel like God's putting us through, there's always a purpose.
Amen.
And she'll have a purpose at the end. And so just hang in there, read your Bible and pray, and just work on building your relationship with the Lord, and all that other stuff will fall into place. And you'll see you don't need it as much when you have a better relationship with the Lord.
Tiffany, thank you. And that Frank from Kentucky had called that in. I've been praying for he and his daughter. So, Tiffany, a word. I just let me say this, a word fitly spoken at the right time, Alex.
Mm-hmm. God bless you, Tiffany. And, you know, see, that's one of the realities of the Christian faith is there we worship while we wait and we grow while we wait, but there is purpose in pain. That's one of the things, if you're hearing about Jesus and putting your faith in Christ and being a Christian— Christianity does not promise you a life completely free of troubles and pain. Bert, some of the most godly people I've ever known, and I'm talking dedicated, godly followers of Jesus, have gone through painful things.
Amen.
But the beautiful thing about it is when we navigate the storms of life with Jesus and according to his word, he is with us. We learn things about God's faithfulness we otherwise might not have known. We grow. We get prepared to minister to others. And there's rewards in heaven. You know, a few minutes ago, I talked about how the fact that only the biblical worldview has the concept of a Sabbath. Well, only the biblical worldview can promise you this, that there is purpose even in pain.
Amen.
I mean, that's our God.
It is. Listen what Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him that would come. So endurance is a part of the Christian life, and the pain is part of that endurance. It didn't say Jesus enjoyed the cross. No, he endured the cross. And sometimes we endure difficult times. And it can be lonely. It can have some isolation to it. You don't want to stay in that isolation. Jesus would come apart for a while, Alex. You know, not the total time. He would pull away from the apostles in the garden and pray. He left them there to pray. But he is with his Father at that certain time. And so there's those times of being with and being alone, you and God. And trust him. And Tiffany's word about trusting him to bring it about, I've seen it happen many, many times in people's lives, Alex.
We're going to go to Texas. Karen in Texas, thank you for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you, guys. I love y'all so much, and I really appreciate your ministry. I just wanted, and I'm not by my notes, but I've heard this question, are people asking for churches, and help me out here if you can, but I listen to Jan Markell all the time, and mm-hmm. I think it's Mark Henry Ministries, but there is it's a church finder, churchfinders.org, and it's very intense how they go through, and in some churches they've even picked out them, they've changed them, and do y'all know what ministry I am, what it is I'm talking about? I just wanted to pass it on for those who aren't able to find a church.
Alex, I think we've heard of that before.
We did, and I interviewed the gentleman that initially put this together, and I believe, and by the way, we don't endorse other websites necessarily, so I'm not saying yay or nay. But churchfinder.com, and there's another one called mychurchfinder.org. So I'm not saying I agree with or disagree. I don't know every web page, and I can't necessarily vouch for everything they may or may not say. But let me tell you, Karen, you make a good point. For one thing, these are some of the questions that you want to prayerfully find out about, that is the Lord Jesus the only way of salvation? Of course, yes. And so ask if this church teaches that Christ and Christ alone is the Savior. And then the authority of God's Word. And Bert, I've been very fortunate in 40 years. Angie and I have been a part of three churches, one of which was Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg under Dr. Jerry Falwell. And then for 20 years, South Elm Street Baptist Church under Lawrence Clapp. I know where they stand on creation, morality, salvation, missions. But these things are important. Theology is really important because it's the Word of God that is our roadmap for life and eternity.
It really is, Alex. And what you do, you look at that, and it's, you know, do they believe the inerrancy of Scripture, that the Bible is authoritative? Do they believe that Jesus rose again, the resurrection is real? You've got to do that, that he is coming back. Now, there's some churches, and we, both of us, are premillennial. We believe that the rapture is going to take place and then mm-hmm. the other. But the biblical model is that he is coming back physically, you know?
Yes. And this same Jesus.
This same Jesus that you have seen shall come again. And so these are important issues that you look at. And some of the things, do they major on hymns, or do they have courses, or is it a mixture? Listen, I have my preference. I'm not going to tell everybody what it is right now. I have my preference of what that is. But I just want to tell you, doing what I do as an interim pastor and having been in 13 different churches in the last 13 years as interim pastor, and the music being from one to the other, different in every way, listen, if you preach the Word and you do missions, you love the Lord Jesus, you're saved by grace through faith, I just want to tell you, all those peripheral things, whether the pastor wears a tie or doesn't wear a tie, you know, listen, find the place where God is glorified and the Word of God is preached and you're on mission for God, and we're praying for that. Got time for another call, Alex?
Let's go to Bill in Ohio. Bill, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate y'all.
Yes. What you got?
I had a sort of a doctrinal question, kind of two-part if you have time or follow-up if possible. But what you just mentioned about doctrine, how important that is, I deal in my business a lot with Roman Catholic people, former or current. Could you explain briefly what is the basic difference between evangelical Orthodox doctrine and Roman Catholic doctrine on the salvation issue?
Alex, go ahead. Time-wise, and we won't have time for a lot. Go ahead, Alex.
God bless you, Bill. Well, this falls under the heading of soteriology, the Greek word soterios, which means to save. Biblical salvation, regardless of the label over the church, is by grace through faith. In grace, God sent his son Jesus, and Jesus died and rose again. Now, here's the thing. On the cross, the atonement, the appropriate measure of God's wrath was put on Jesus. And so Jesus' death on the cross makes salvation possible. Us putting our faith in Jesus makes salvation actual. And just like with Protestant churches, it's hard to paint completely with a one brush because, I mean, they're faith in Jesus is what saves us, right? One of the great cries of the Reformation, sola fide. Now, we'll unpack this a little bit more. It's not works righteousness. It's not taking communion, although communion is a fine thing to do. It's Christ's righteousness, which is ours through faith. I've known Catholics that believed it and Protestants that didn't. I've known Protestants that believed it and Catholics that didn't. It's not by works, but it's by faith in the work and person of Jesus.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. Thank you for listening today to Exploring the Word. Be sure and tell someone about this program, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.